It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay, I can't get any lower. That's the news according to me. Yes, good morning. It's Friday again. Again. It just seems like Friday comes every week at this time. Shabbat shalom, everyone. It's 8:18 Eastern Standard Time, I guess, here in these United States. May 6th, Friday, May 6th. The day after the 4th be with you, I think. When is it? I don't know. It's day after Cinco de Mayo, whatever that is. Nobody even knows what Cinco de Mayo is. Everybody says, oh, it's a Mexican holiday. And that's, they don't even know it's a Mexican. You go to Mexico, they're like, what's what? It's a what? Mexico's Independence Day. There was some battle with the French or something. It has something to do. I don't know. It's kind of a ridiculous. It's kind of like Hallmark. You know, they make up holidays to sell cards. Like Sweetest Day, Valentine's Day, stuff like that. They make that stuff up. They can sell stuff. And the beer companies, you know, they make this stuff up so they can sell, you know, party drinks. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of drinks, you probably want to know what's in my cup. That's probably why you even clicked on this thing this morning. I have a mix, again, of things in my... It's tea. But it's a combination of chai tea and regular Lipton tea. And what I've done is I had this... I got this stuff. My wife got me this chai... It's tea bags, but it's chai tea. I think I've had this before. At least the flavor is very familiar. I think I've tried this before. It is a... It's a chai tea that's in a tea bag. So it's not really a creamy chai tea. It's got kind of a spice to it. However, I don't put any cream in it. If I put cream in it, it probably would be better. I should have done that this morning. But what I did this morning was a little bit unorthodox, a little bit weird. So what I did was I put in, I used a fresh tea bag two days ago, to give it a try, just to try the chai. It was a try the chai evening. So I made myself a cup of chai with this tea bag. Well, I usually, you know, leave a tea bag. If I'm going to be making another cup, you know, soon, I'll just leave the bag there and I'll keep it where the cat can't get it. And then I'll go make another cup of tea later on. So that's what I did this morning. I used the same tea bag again and made a little, I didn't figure it would work too well, but it was already kind of used up. So I finished up with a regular tea bag from Lipton. So that's a little bit of that flavor in there. And then I put sugar and honey and coconut oil in it. Didn't put any cream in it. I think if I would just make it and put cream in it, it probably would be pretty close to what I like. For a while, I was doing the hot milk and honey thing. That's good, but it's a little more difficult to make. I got to heat it in the microwave, and you have to be kind of careful how you heat it, because if the milk boils over, it makes a mess. That happened to me once in a hotel. I tried that in a hotel, and it made a mess. I didn't tell him about it. I had a dream last night about a hotel. In fact, this is weird. This is a weird dream. I was in this room, and I kept hearing water running and water dripping. And of course, those are dangerous dreams to have, because you never know if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna wet yourself. Basically, you can, you know. Why am I hearing water running? What's causing that? I think it might have been the rain outside. And I think that might have been what it was. I don't know. But I was I kept hearing this water dripping, and I was like, somebody kept flushing the toilet. And I was looking around like, where is that water sound coming from? And finally I figured out it was a room above me. And I was in this hotel, and there was this room above me, or an apartment or a hotel. Well, I think it must have been a hotel, because I didn't really care about the leak too much. I was just going to check out and leave. But as I was getting ready to leave, I noticed that this leak was getting worse. Every time they'd run water upstairs, I could hear it. And then the leak got worse. Something up there was happening. That's the way my dreams go. So tell me the meaning of that one. Just, you know, write down in the comments down below there, if you have a place to put comments. If you don't, just write it on, like if you're listening on your radio, just go ahead and write it on your radio right down below there. Just go ahead and scratch it right into your plastic on your car there, what your response would be. And someday if I ever happen to buy your car, because I just buy a used car. So if I just ever buy your car, I'll be able to respond, and I'll know what your comment was. So I got this tea, and it's got a pretty good flavor to it. I mean, it's got the honey, and it's got the sugar in there, and it's got a little bit of that hint of just a little bit of chai in there, which is pretty decent. So there you go. That's what's in my cup this morning. It's almost empty. I didn't bring a backup. I should have brought a backup of some V8 Fusion or something. But I digress. There's still a whole lot of stuff going on. I'm going to jump right into this. Since I've spent the first 6 minutes talking about nothing, I want to jump right into this. The issues that are going on right now. Yesterday's show, I talked a little bit about how the news is doing its thing, how it's spinning things and lying about everything, and you know, just the way I had that whole example of Harry Reid. And how they'll lie with impunity. They'll just lie like a frog jumping into water. It's just as natural for them as anything. Just go out there and just make up stuff. One of the things that's kind of in the news right now, not in the mainstream news, of course. It's all over alternate news And of course, Fox News, anything that's a little more right-leaning. Supposedly, there's this right and left paradigm thing we're supposed to believe in. So we have this this issue of McMackerson. I don't know what his name is. How convenient, you know, that he's got his name is Mac something, so he can have a Mac shop, have a computer shop called a Mac shop, and of course, that's his name. So, I wonder what I did with my phone this morning. I had it here. Oh, there it is. The interesting thing is, you know, he came out with this report before the election. Now, this guy's not a Republican, or at least he didn't used to be. He might be kind of considering his options now. Because the folks on the left have attacked him so severely to defame him and to discredit him and to label him as a Russian operative. And they did all this stuff to destroy him, basically. All these people came out. Adam Schiff came out and said, this is a Russian plot. We have every reason to believe this is a Russian plot. It looks like it is. This is from directly from the Kremlin. That's Adam Schiff's answer to everything. And, of course, Adam Schiff for years during the Trump administration was telling us that, all the evidence is right there in plain sight. Okay, what is the evidence? It's right there in plain sight. Oh, and what is it? It's right there in plain sight. I mean, he wouldn't tell you what it was. And he'd just tell you it's all right there. For everyone to see. Okay, maybe you can see it. Do you see dead people? I don't know. I don't understand what are you looking at? What are you talking about? This has all come out now to be, you know, false, phony, but they still peddle it. It has all been proven to be a hoax. It was phony. It was under the label of opposition research by the Clinton campaign fund, which is all coming out with the Sussman trial and all that stuff that's going on right now with John Durham. Now, I don't know. I don't know John Durham any better than that one picture that everybody shows of him with his face kind of, you know, big head face thing looking at the camera. I don't know. There's not very many pictures of this guy. He apparently is a real person now. We've figured that out. But he doesn't make any, which I appreciate the fact that he doesn't make any public statements or anything or appearances. Doesn't get in front of the camera and make announcements like James Comey does. So he's going after some things. He's digging into some more things. And I don't know exactly. I guess he doesn't have any motives, but I also wonder if at the end of the day, if there is going to be an agenda or what's going to happen with all, everything he uncovers. He'll do the investigation, then he turns that over to his bosses. And of course, what are they going to do? Nothing. He's going to do all this work, and he's making a lot of money, I'm sure, and we're spending a lot of money on this whole probe to go into all this stuff. And at the end of the day, there's going to be hearings and whatever else happens. Now, I don't know if they're going to try to stretch this thing out and to the point where the Republicans take over in November, or actually it won't be until January, after the election, and then all of a sudden he's going to release this stuff, and then all the investigations are going to happen. Of course, then it's all going to be one big pony show with nobody going to prison that matters. The people that the real nefarious individuals at the top will not, they won't be touched. The Clintons just need to go away. They just need to be done. I'm tired of even seeing them in the public. They continue to be lifted up as some, you know, wonderful group of individuals. Bill Clinton, stuff that he did in the White House, stuff that he did with all the philanthropy, whatever you want to call it, his affairs and everything else that he did, by the left's own standards, he'd be considered, he'd be canceled right now. He's the pig. You want to talk about a pig? He didn't just talk about it. He did things. And lied about it. On top of all that. But he's okay. He's a good guy.
Oh, I'm a good guy.
He got a standing ovation on the Oprah show. Unbelievable. Just the nature of these wackos is unbelievable. And I don't like using those words either. I have to pull back from that a little bit. I said it. I said it. They're wackos. Okay, there you go. But I don't know what else to say about it anymore. Now we have Supreme Court justices being threatened. They're protesting at their homes. They're committing acts of violence. They're putting fences around the Supreme Court right now. But that's not an insurrection. That's not a mob. That's not a riot. They're protesters, of course. I'm sure they won't end up in prison for over a year without any trial. You realize there are people in prison today who have not had a trial. One individual has had his trial moved several times. Now they're saying his trial will be in August. You see, the problem with them, they'll probably push it off until after November. That's my guess. Unless they've actually got something on this guy. The guy is being charged with a misdemeanor. Now, on the other hand, the man who attacked Dave Chappelle the other night with a gun that had a knife attached to it, it's a phony gun with a real knife. The knife was attached, it kind of looked like a bayonet, the way it looked. Kind of like taped onto the barrel of the gun, but who knows what he was trying to do with the thing. He came after him. And they were all celebrating the fact that, you know, this guy's getting beat up over in the corner. And then they turn around and the prosecutor, we turned over to the prosecutor's office, and they decide to charge him with a misdemeanor. But he's running free right now. He's got to hit him. That was a misdemeanor. He's running free. Not going to press charges. It was attempted murder. He could have been killed. Probably something political going on there with regard to who the guy is. Now, he's also got pictures. We have pictures of this guy standing on top of cop cars. Protesting, by the way. That's considered a peaceful protest when you stand on top of a police car. You know, I'm sure he didn't damage anything, I'm sure. I'm sure he buffed out any scratches that he may have caused. This is the kind of stuff that is beyond the pale. And we can't just turn a blind eye to this. I'm sorry. If you think this is, oh, well, we just need to, you know, be patient. And no, we don't. No, these people need to be prosecuted. Justice needs to be served here. If this becomes the justice of our country, of our land, if this becomes the standard, the standard by which we do justice in this country, if we have a two-tier justice system or a two-page system, we cease to be a country. We literally gut ourselves of any kind of security within, and that we can't tolerate that. If you're willing to give in to that, then I'm sorry, but you've given up on the country itself. Does the court need to show mercy in some cases? Absolutely. Does the court need to give a blank check to certain individuals? Absolutely not. Laws were passed for a reason. And the people who take office are sworn to uphold those laws. They can't just pick and choose. And yet that's what they do. Selective enforcement. It's ridiculous. So as we go through everything that we're going through in this country right now with the media being what it is, and they're just going off the rails. If you have a chance, just YouTube, you can Google search, whatever you want to do. Look for Elizabeth Warren reacts to SCOTUS decision. Now, she's unhinged. Just infuriated. And they just flat out lie about this whole thing. This puts it back to the states. And of course, now the other issue is, well, the states, if some states ban abortion, which they'll be able to, some states will be able to ban abortion, that these people will have to travel across state lines. Of course, you know what that means. Traveling across state lines means you're committing a felony, apparently, at that point, just like young man up in Wisconsin did. Traveled across state lines. Drove 20 minutes to another city that he worked in. But he went across state lines. That was always part of the narrative. Like as if we really care. I mean, there's a border there that, you know, you have to stop. There's a checkpoint to get across the state line. So we have this. These are the people who don't like borders at all, but they like to talk about state lines. They're gonna have to cross state lines. They're gonna have to travel. They don't have these poor people in the black community don't have the ability to, you know, they keep going on with that. Oh, so yeah, that's what it's really about. Poor people don't have access to abortion. They can't afford to have a child. Yeah. So we have all these people coming across the border on the southern border, and somehow we can afford that in our economy. Mark Dice did an interesting, I don't know when he actually did it, but he posted the video this morning. If you have a chance to watch him, yeah, it was pretty good. Mark Dice is I don't agree with everything Guy says. He's got some ideas about some things that it's kind of interesting. But he does have stuff, information to back up what he talks about. Very, very well-documented stuff. He was out on the streets, of course. He lives in California. I think he lives in L.A., someplace in Southern California. And he goes out to the beach. A lot of times they'll do like reporting. That's what made him famous, actually. He would go out and ask these ridiculous questions of people, give them some interviews. This morning he was out there. This was the show, anyway. He wasn't out there this morning, but the show was out there. And he was recording, asking people what they thought about Walmart's new policy to put abortion clinics in right next to their optical centers. So that people could come in and get an oil change and also get an abortion. Most of the people didn't even believe it. They're like, I don't believe that's going to happen. They're not going to do that. Now, ironically, there has been some things where he's asked questions about things, and a year or two later that actually starts happening. I don't think this is going to be one of those cases unless it's California or New York, but he was asking these people these questions. Of course, they were like, no, they're not going to do that. You're joshing me. So it was a little bit over the top in the question. However, people were pretty squeamish about it. The reason they didn't believe it, the one fellow who thought that he might be telling the truth, he said, well, I'm not sure about your information, but if they're really going to do this, I think that's going too far. That's making it too easy. He said, that's making it too easy. He believes in our women's right to choose, but that was making it too easy. Well, how difficult should it be? In fact, nobody that he asked this question of felt really good about it until the very last lady. Now, she didn't believe him. She I don't know where you got your information from. I doubt if it's going to happen. But she was celebrating the idea. And one of the things she said was, because it will help the economy. Because, we can't have these unwanted children out there. So he tried to make this point. He said, well, so if you had a child and you wanted to have that child and you were pregnant and you had a baby and your boyfriend or your husband didn't want to have that child and you wanted to have it, but he didn't want to have it. So he just punched you in the stomach several times to, force an abortion, basically. He says, well, that's different because if I want the child, it's a child. But if I don't want the child, it's not a child. That's the science, folks. That's science for you. That's much like if I don't feel like a man, I'm not a man. I'm not a male. This is like asking a Supreme Court judge to define what a woman is. And they can't do that. Oh, I'm not a biologist. Oh. But you're going to stand up for women's rights, aren't you? Because you're a woman. How do you define African American then? Can you define that? That would have been the next. I would have asked a lot more questions than that. I would have drilled down on that one for a long time. What can you define? Can you define a trans person? Because if you can, then you have to be able to define what they're transing from and transing to. Or are they just some kind of trans? Or are we all trans then? Because that's easy to define. If you're transitioning from a man to a woman or from a woman to a man, how do you define what that is then? And how are you going to stand up for those rights, the rights of those people? How are you going to represent them? Which you don't. You don't represent people as a Supreme Court judge. You do not represent people. You represent the law. That's just the cold, hard truth of it. You don't get to make decisions based on race, color, or creed. You get to make decisions based on restricting the reach of the law, restricting the powers that be, because that's what our individual rights are all about. Every individual, regardless of who you are, what you think you are, you have rights. The right to privacy is not one of those. However, which is what they've tagged the right to privacy to abortion rights. There's no right to abortion in the Constitution. The Supreme Court ruling of Roe versus Wade it wasn't good law to begin with. And in fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg even said so. She believed it should probably go back to the states. But they wouldn't want to talk about that. They very carefully edited some of her interviews. Especially near the end there. Well, I could go a long, long ways there. Now, with this, apparently, word has it. Now, I know that Robert Gouveia, or whatever his name is, the one lawyer guy I listened to, Watching the Watchers, had a really good report on the whole. He kind of read through the whole, the finer points, the bigger points on the draft that was being passed around. And discussed how each justice kind of approached it. Now, some of them, they didn't necessarily agree with each other. Even the ones who were on the same, came to the same conclusions, they didn't necessarily agree with their conclusions in terms of how they got there to the same conclusion. They concurred, but not based on the same foundational premise. So there's an interesting riff there between some of them. And I think that that's being misread. I think there's being some things that are being said one way or the other. I'm not sure that they can agree if they have to agree on those points in order to vote a particular way. However, there's word now on the street that Roberts is going to go against the brief. Doesn't matter. It's still going to be 5-4. If Roberts goes with it, it'll be 6-3. Now, like I said, and they're already talking about packing the court again. This is all coming up again. I've already talked about that. This is going to be an excuse for that. We obviously have to pack the court. They're doubling down on the leftist, crazy, wacko agenda. They think that this is going to be the issue that's going to keep them solid and not lose as many seats in November. There's this phony idea. Now, I'm going to get back to this whole thing with Mark Dice because this was interesting that as soon as this happened, Elizabeth, one of the things that Elizabeth Warren said, that the vast majority of people believe in the women's right to choose. That people think that abortion should be legal. This opinion is no longer the case, by the way. Because as science has improved, and as we start to realize the viability of a child outside the womb, as well as what the child looks like inside the womb, even before viability, people have become more and more against the idea of aborting a child. In fact, Biden the other day let it slip. A woman decides to abort her child. He called it a child. They've never done that before. They've always been careful about calling it a fetus. Or just calling it a pregnancy. He came right out and said, it's a child. Which was, you know, a slip up. Didn't mean to call it a child. The woman in Mark Dice's little interview, she called it a parasite. Well, if I'm the host, it's a parasite. Oh. But if you want the child, then it's a child. Because it's about what you think about it. It's not about what it is. One of the things that Elizabeth Warren was saying was that this is such a, everybody accepts it, it needs to be legal. It needs to be a woman's right to choose. And yet you could tell in his interview with all these individuals, in California no less, normally he has no problem finding people who are gullible and go along with it and agree with what he's saying. Like we're going to ban the triceratops or whatever. He has this thing where ban the triceratops. He went around and got a petition to sign, ban the triceratops. And people were signing it. Or not to ban the, but to ban hunting. Ban the hunting of the triceratops. It's an endangered species. Yeah, it's just crazy stuff like that. He'll come up with some wacky thing and put it out there, and people are signing, you know, petitions to do stuff. In this case, he couldn't get anybody to do it. I couldn't get anybody to go along with it. And but it's because this issue in the public, Elizabeth Warren is so far behind. They live in this little bubble of their own, thinking that everybody agrees with them and thinks that they, just like they do. They do not. And the nation's opinion of abortion has changed over the past 10 years. Especially among young people. It has changed drastically. Now, when they get into college, of course, they get the same, all the same propaganda and stuff that they get. But she came out and was so upset that all these people, they think this is a winning issue for the elections. Or it's a rallying cry. They think that this is going to get people's mind off of gas prices. All we are going to see out of this, here's what the American people see. More riots, more violence, more rhetoric, screaming, yelling, more attacking on the institutions that we hold dear in this country. More and more of that. More lies, more rhetoric. It's going to continue to go on. Meanwhile, people are putting gas in their tanks. The price keeps going up. Prices are going up again, by the way. And we haven't even got into the summer jump yet. We're going to see gas, you know, right now we're seeing it. It's very quickly approaching $5 a gallon. There's a tipping point that will trigger people not spending. Now, the Fed has decided to step in and rescue us from this rampant inflation because it's, you know, it's just transitory. It's just going to be a little blip. Remember when they told us that a few months ago? They were saying this is just a transitory inflation. This was the end of last year. Just transitory. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's just going to be a little blip and it's going to go away. Nope, nothing to see here. Just move along. Keep spending. So the Fed has decided to raise rates 0.5%. That's the most they've done in 40 years. I don't know. Something ridiculous. They haven't raised rates to that degree for many, many years. Now, the reason for that is to slow inflation. Now, here's how that works. This is how the Fed thinks that they think that this works this way. We have a very different kind of economy. I don't think they understand that the Fed doesn't control what they think they do anymore. But this is where they go with this stuff. Because they don't have the grip, but it's just different. It's just they still have the grip on us because they got the money. They control the money. The Federal Reserve does. It's not federal. It's not a federal institution. It's a privately owned institution. But they have the right to create money. It's a cartel. It's not federal. And there's no reserve. They just make money out of nothing. They wouldn't even tell the U.S. government how much money is in circulation. Probably because they don't know. And they give money to other countries. They're very much involved in worldwide banking. These fat cats sit at the top with whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They can just write themselves a check. And so they have this money floating around out there. And they decide to raise interest rates. Now, this is how it works. Well, I'm not going to dig down too far into the whole. I'm not going to go into the weeds on that. I was going to go into how the Federal Reserve issues funds and how, you know, when banks get a loan, that whole process. I'm not going to talk. And then there's savings and loans and credit unions, that kind of thing. Let's just put it this way: when they do raise the interest rates, their thinking on this is that by raising the interest rates, people will not be borrowing as much money and spending as much on things. You know, borrowing so they're literally slowing down the economy, supposedly, to let things catch up. Well, that's not the way it works right now. We are in an unprecedented time. coming out of a, we've never had an opportunity like this where we've come out of a pandemic where we intentionally shut the economy down. Never been done before. We intentionally shut the country down by means of production. Then in the process of coming out of it, which it was coming out pretty well, by the way, we were weathering the storm pretty well until about, oh, I don't know, January 20th of last year. And then all of a sudden things started to change. And it was all based on what we were doing with our energy policy. You cannot choke off the energy supply, start importing oil again, becoming a negative supplier in the world of oil, abdicating our responsibility to take care of ourselves off to some other country that's hostile, obviously, and think that we somehow aren't going to pay the price for that, or that we're going to have somehow control our economic situation in the middle of that. We can't. So here we sit. And now the Fed thinks that, well, we'll just raise interest rates 0.5%. That'll slow down inflation. No, gas prices are going to continue to rise. That's not going to cause gas prices to go down. Our whole economy is oil-based. And they don't, it's almost like as if they don't want to believe that. They're not going to slow down inflation. I don't even think that's going to make not even one scintilla of it. I'm not sure even what a scintilla is, but not even one little bit. I do know what a little bit is. I've got some tools out in my toolbox there. I got a little bit, a little drill bit, a little bit, a little bit. I got this, what I got. And that's all I've got for now, for the show. I can't think of anything else to talk about. I know that's going to disappoint some of you because, you know, you're really wrapped into this. By the way, I'm in my home studio this morning. Next week is the big day. Next week is the big week. I'm going to go to Atlanta later today. I'm going to be down there over the weekend, get back Sunday night. And when I get back next week, today's the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. On the 9th, by the way, on Monday, is the big day where I may be able to pick up the new sound booth for the home studio here. And I've been looking at some other gadgets for the sound booth that I think will work really well. I'm not positive yet. There's one. The problem with sound booth is it's not really made to stand up in. It's made to sit down in, I think. I'm not sure if I'm real. I might be able to stand up in it. I'm not sure how tall it is. It is pretty tall, though. Hopefully, I can stand up in there. The question is whether or not I'm going to be able to run my computer and do all the stuff in there I need to do. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all sets up and how it all works. I have to come up with a way to get it all in here. The basement's big enough, but it's just a matter of getting it in the basement because we've had nothing but rain after rain after rain right now. It rained all day yesterday. It's going to rain all day today. Hopefully, it's going to dry up a little bit next week, and I can actually drive the truck down with the trailer on it and be able to get this thing in through my basement. I have a walkout basement. So we'll see if we can get that done. I'll let you know how it goes. I'll probably be doing the show as I'm moving the thing around. I'll be inside the booth while it's being moved around. I'll hire some guys to move it around while I'm inside the booth and doing the show. That'll make it pretty interesting, probably. Yeah. Anyway, having said all that, it is Friday, and I don't know if I'll be doing a show over the weekend or not. I will be doing a show Monday. I might have a special show over the weekend because I have a little bit of time tomorrow afternoon, and I might be able to do a special Saturday show, depending on what happens. Sometimes they release news on Fridays. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. They'll throw news out there like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're declaring nuclear war on Russia. Have a good weekend. They'll say that right at the end of the day. They'll usually, you know, announce things like that right at the end of the day so that nobody, you know, pays attention because they're, what do you say? Oh, we're, oh, well, okay, it's a weekend. Let's go to the ball game. Not sure what he said. Hey, by the way, we're going to announce we're taking away everybody's money. See ya. Have a great weekend. See ya. There's some, I guess there's a report. I just heard a rumor of this through a trusted source, but I haven't actually seen it. Actually, why don't I pull this up? I think I might just pull this up because speaking of, Israeli Delta variant breakthrough. Let's see what's happening with this. They're supposedly that was in 21. Pfizer COVID vaccine 39% effective in against the Delta variant, which actually turned out to be not quite right. Israeli study shows Omicron did not wipe out Delta variant. I think this is the one. This is the one here. Now, this is an interesting. This is an interesting report. I think this is the one that was being referred to. So I'm going to look at this real quick. Just if you don't care about Delta, Omicron, or COVID or anything, you can be done with the show because that's pretty much all I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to end the show here. But Israeli study shows Omicron did not wipe out Delta variant. And this is put out 1 day ago. This is the most recent thing. Now my understanding is they're testing sewage water, which they can kind of get an idea. They've been testing things like that for COVID, and I guess they've been finding it has kind of a – when they see it start to spike in the sewage water treatment areas, they know that it's on the rise. Now this, according to a new scientific paper from researchers in the Ben-Gurion University, BGU, at Beersheba, the Omicron variants of COVID-19 may burn out in the next few months, but the Delta variant may actually reemerge. Now, this is a little bit speculative. If you listen to Dr. John Campbell, you'll see what has happened here. Science of the Total Environment is the name of the peer-reviewed journal that published the findings of the researchers. The title of the paper was Managing an Evolving Pandemic, Cryptic Circulation of the Delta Variant During the Omicron Rise. Alpha was the first variant of the coronavirus to make an appearance in 2019 and then became the beta variant that had first been found in South Africa. As for the gamma variant, it had been detected in Brazil and then came Delta that had first been identified in India. The milder yet more infectious Omicron was the last to appear, even though it has developed a number of subvariants, BA1 and BA2 that I know of, I'm not sure how many more, and has spread all over the globe. While the Delta variant had managed to wipe out all the variants that had come before it, Omicron was not able to do the same to it, Dr. Karine Yaniv and Professor Ariel Kushmaro came to this conclusion with the former just receiving her doctorate. Well, she just got her doctorate. She's just brand new on the scene here. Sensitive arrays have been developed by the lab team, which can help in differentiating the different variants in wastewater. This also provides indications as to where the COVID-19 is still active, even when there is a decline in the number of rapid tests and PCR tests. Kushmaro arrived at the Ben-Gurion BGU about 21 years ago and got his advanced degree in biotechnology and molecular biology at Tel Aviv University. Now, keep in mind, I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I can barely make a cup of tea. So keep in mind, I'm just reading this stuff from, I can barely read. These are big words. I can barely do this. It's very difficult for me. He had also trained as a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard and Hebrew University. He established the Goldstein-Gorin Department of Biotechnology Engineering. And also founded a lab at the School of Sustainability and Climate Change. Oh, well, good for him. So now we know kind of what this guy's about. The specialties of the lab include antimicrobial activities of different organisms, marine microbial ecology, and wastewater microbiology. It also specializes in the treatment of wastewater biology. Started in December. Beersheba, yes, he's looking at the Omicron thing and looking at Delta and Omicron variants. Model was developed. I'm going to skim through some of this. This is, even though the vaccination efforts in Israel had been quite significant and a large percentage of people had gotten them. Now, there's a lot of open-ended questions here. They need to start really, and one of the problems that they've had in all of these issues, this is according to not just my opinion, but this is Dr. Campbell's, one of his concerns is that there has been very little emphasis put on natural immunity, on unvaccinated people who have antibodies and have recovered. The reason he's concerned about this is because we're going to have numbers now of people who if Delta comes back, will it affect people who have had the vaccine more than people who have not had the vaccine? There was a recent American thought leaders had been interviewing some doctors who've had some. They're the only ones that are coming out and saying anything about this. They're seeing some issues that have arisen. I don't know. They've popped up over the issue of vaccinated individuals who now are having some other side effects regarding immuno health and some other things, especially myocarditis and some other blood and heart related issues. Now, there are a lot of questions in all of this. This is where people can start to speculate way overboard on this stuff. Does COVID itself affect you, whether you've been vaccinated or not? Does it affect at the same rate as it does from someone who's been vaccinated? Is it COVID that's doing this, or is it the vaccine that's doing this? This is where the studies start to fall apart, because we don't have the data, because they didn't want to take the data. There is some speculation, and this is all speculation at this point, some hypothesis that those who've had the third and fourth shot, this one doctor was saying even the third shot, but especially the fourth shot, are having issues with spike proteins and having more issues with organ stuff, and mostly myocarditis, but mostly blood and heart issues at an alarming rate. The increase since the vaccination of the population has increased. It is quite significant. It's quite notable. Does that mean everybody's going to have the problem? Probably not. But we are just starting to get into the whole time frame of this thing. Most vaccines are studied for at least 2 years before they're released. We're just coming up on that 2-year period, and most of the data has been suppressed. It's not being released. We're just supposed to blindly be okay with all this stuff. So what is really happening? And we don't know. And we're not going to know. And even if they do know, they're not going to tell us. And the big pharma. And I think that the CDC and the FDA, I think they're involved in this. I think that there's people, look, whenever there's people involved, they can be bought and paid off. And now we have this new drug that's coming out that's being, I don't know if it's a new vaccine or if it's just a therapeutic. I'm not sure what they're calling it this time. Pernaxemdale or whatever it's called, what's called. The concern now is that the White House is now pushing this thing. That this is the one that it's going to take on Omicron. Well, now we're jumping back to Delta. Now there was a huge difference between the numbers. What the numbers showed, this is what Dr. John Campbell and all the guy does is go through the numbers. He's not a political guy. He believes in vaccines. He pushes the vaccines and thinks that the vaccines are well. I have to say his mind has started to change. He started to shift a little bit in his opinion, just a little bit. Initially, he was really big on getting the world vaccinated. Now he's not so sure because he's a little bit concerned about the way we've just completely ignored natural immunity. And in fact, he's at the point where he's saying people need to be tested for natural immunity before they're given the vaccine for antibodies because it has obviously been showing that natural immunity is much more effective and longer lasting than the vaccine is. There's no question about that in terms of the numbers. No question. It's very obvious. Now, his concern is that we're talking about giving the vaccine, continuing to give it to younger and younger kids and making sure all the children are vaccinated. And he's saying, why? We're testing kids and they're actually testing positive for antibodies. There's more risk involved in giving them the vaccine, be it small and slight. It's still a risk. And in fact, the numbers among young people in terms of heart issues is actually higher than it is among older people with the vaccine. So why are we pushing this on them? If they've got antibodies, that they're better protected and less chance at this point of an event. So why? There's something more going on, and it's not sure what the planners. I think 90% of it is just money. However, there's also an agenda behind the whole thing. I think there's more to it than this. Now, again, we have an election coming up. We have people who are going to come out with studies, and people are going to try to instill fear in us again. Delta's coming back. It's coming for you. Delta's coming. Now, one of the things that he mentioned, Dr. John Campbell mentioned, is that people who got the initial COVID, he calls it COVID, because he's British and he doesn't know how to talk. So he said that protected you from, basically, people who got it initially didn't get Delta. They got the Alpha strain or the second strain, I think it was. They got the Alpha variant initially, did not get Delta. People who got Delta still got Omicron. And people who got the original strain variant also got Omicron. People who got vaccinated got Omicron. Now, there's always the argument of, well, if you're vaccinated, your symptoms will be less severe. We don't know that. That's even questionable now to some extent. He said it's probably about 20% accurate. But it's becoming less accurate. He said it's questionable with Omicron. It's so low that it's not probably not even, it may be not, it may not even be detectable because he was looking at some of the data and the way the data was collected. He said it's very possible that the vaccine probably did not give you any protection with regard to, well, he just said it's questionable whether or not it was giving you any reduction in symptoms. However, getting it and carrying it and spreading it, whether you're vaccinated or not, with Omicron, it was the same. Now, the question is, if you've had Omicron, if you've had Omicron, now it does wipe out Delta, and that's why Omicron took over and Delta burned out. However, now they're saying Delta didn't go away completely. Delta can come back. the question is now, if Delta comes back, or if that's going to be a strain that kind of lingers in the animal population, will there be a natural immunity or a natural ability to overcome it because the hospitals aren't filling up with anybody with Delta? That's the odd thing here. That the immunity that's gained through Omicron, which is swept through the world and basically immunized everybody, which sadly, unfortunately, I think Bill Gates said, unfortunately, Omicron got ahead of us with the vaccines and basically inoculated everybody. Unfortunately, because he couldn't sell any more vaccines. Now they got all these vaccines out there that I don't know what to do with. Poor Bill. Oh, that's too bad. So there you go. That's my report on the what's going on with the Omicron thing, with Delta and COVID, or COVID. Let's look at some, since it is Friday, I'm going to look at some headlines, YouTube headlines, and see what we have going on here. We've got Jesse Lee Peterson. I don't really listen to him much anymore. I don't know why I even subscribe to him. That's amazing. No, I don't. He interesting guy. I like him. He's a good guy. Just haven't listened to him much. So Curtis Silva says Eric Adams never had a crime fighting. He's running. I think he's running for mayor of New York. Something. I'm not sure what he's doing. A lot of stuff here from Sky News Australia because it's morning time and they're closing out their day, and I get a whole bunch of stuff in my inbox from them. What else do we have here? Not a whole lot in the news right now. Local elections, Sky News Australia, fascism, yeah, I don't see anything else here. There's some financial news and that kind of thing. I really don't see. Rebel News has some things. Aussie actor terminates career to fight for freedom. There was a guy that, speaking of which, there was a guy on CNN or MSNBC. I can't remember what it was. He was a reporter, and he would go on late night show. Now this hardly got any news at all. He was this real big reporter on MSNBC or CNN. He would go on, and they would continue to interview him. And supposedly he was in Ukraine, and he was like, I just couldn't. I had to go. I had to fight. I couldn't sit back anymore. So he went over there to fight. And he would go on the news, and he would go on his little interview almost every day, talk about what was happening. And these guys that come on their interviews and they're wearing their helmet and their flak jackets and all the stuff that they got on, he's got his gun there beside him, and he's got a green screen behind him because he's got like whatever he's got going on back there. You can't trust these people. I've seen this happen even, I think, on Fox News. I think this was happening. This guy, he'd go on in the evenings. I'm in the war zone, so he had to wear his helmet and his flak jacket. And of course, there's nothing happening. This happened during the Gulf War, where there's actually, they actually have bombs going off in the background. But this particular issue, they're not even over there half the time. And when they are over there, they got to put all this stuff on. It's kind of like putting on a mask before you go on air. They put all this stuff on to make it look like they're in a war zone. I make it look like I'm in a war zone. And of course, they go back to, wearing their blue jeans t-shirt after they get done. Zelensky himself is walking around in a war zone. People are trying to kill him, and he wears a t-shirt. He's not wearing a helmet, a flak jacket, and all that stuff. But these reporters are out there. They're so close to the action. They have to wear a flak jacket and helmet. Well, this guy was coming on every night and talking about how he just couldn't take it anymore. Had to enter the fight. He couldn't sit still. I don't know what his agenda was, whether he's trying to be a hero here or whatever he was trying to do. But MSNBC or CNN, whoever it was that he was working for, he still is, by the way. Come to find out, it was all he's still here in the United States. It was all bull. It was baloney. He was out there doing this whole show, doing this interview, and he was just a phony. Nothing in the news about this. Guy was lying through his teeth about being over there fighting. Nothing. He's doing nothing. It was all a joke. It was all not even a joke. It was just a bad. The guy is a joke as a broadcaster, but yeah. That's the kind of news media we have right now. That's acceptable for some reason. That's all. Well, he's a hero. Just like these people who are going, they're calling these people protesters who are riotous mob individuals. They're heroes on the left. These people are heroes. Anybody who threatens these SCOTUS judges, they're heroes. When you listen to Chuck Schumer talk about going after Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, going to face the whirlwind, you're not going to know what hit you. And the way, the vitriol with which he uses to talk about them. You don't hear the Supreme Court judges talking about senators and congressmen that way. When you speak like that, this is what aggravates me to no end. These people need to be called to account, because what they're saying, when you're called to represent me, when my representative from this area, and I'll say her name, Jackie Walorski, is my representative. I think she'd make a better Speaker of the House than Nancy Pelosi for sure. But I know that Kevin McCarthy has no business being, all of a sudden he's dropped off the scene because, you know, the whole SCOTUS thing. It was like, he's like, man, got me into the hot seat because I was, you know, don't worry, Kevin, we haven't forgotten you. We're still going to go after, so just wait your turn, because I'm going to try to put some pressure on some folks to not vote for that guy. Now, he's going to do everything he can to help people get elected and make them think that he's the reason they got elected. He, as Speaker, that is, I'm talking about Speaker. He wants to be Speaker of the House. He has no business being Speaker of the House. I think Mike Lee, Jim Jordan, there's a plethora of other individuals that'd be better as Speaker of the House. It'd be great if Marjorie Taylor Greene would be Speaker of the House. That would be awesome. Just to kind of, I don't know that she'd necessarily be a great Speaker of the House, but she'd be better than Nancy Pelosi. And, they would just make the left's head pop off. They would go nuts over that, which would be great to watch. The liberal tears would be overflowing my cup. That's all I got to say about that. So I guess the rest of the day, the rest of this weekend, just try to do your best to pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around us. And see what's said. See what's being said. And I don't know, you know, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. Seems like there was another point in there I was trying to make, but I can't remember what it is. My bumper music's starting to come in right now because, you know, I pushed the button. That's why it's doing it. I might have pushed it a little bit early because I think I was going to finish a point. But it's been an hour. You've had your money's worth now. So thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for subscribing, sharing, talking about the show. We'll be doing a live broadcast probably next week at some point. And whether it's going to be on Podbean or whether it's just going to be on Rumble, I'm not sure yet. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom. Take care.